You turn in your Bibles as we turn to the Scriptures, of course, this evening, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and just as we read the passage again tonight, I do want to emphasize that some of the subheadings, in fact, all of these subheadings have been included later on. This is not part of the original inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These divisions and even the verse and chapter divisions are inclusions later on. So I want to read this evening from chapter 5 and beginning at verse 15. Apostle Paul writing, he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body, and for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord and not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." Just so far, the reading of God's word. Once again, let's just pray and ask God for his blessing. Lord, we do pray for your blessing as we continue to seek to understand the word as we've read it. We do ask that the understanding and application and exposition would be clear to each one among us here tonight. We continue to pray, Lord, for your role in teaching us. And Lord, perhaps there is a need to convict us, where there needs to be change, where there needs to be confession and repentance, where there needs to be adjustment and correction. And so we do pray that your Spirit would enable, that he indeed would be at work through the words of my mouth, through the meditation of our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just looking around the congregation tonight. Many younger people, some older folk. Some are married. some hope to be married. I think that would be true. And therefore, this kind of message tonight having a particular significant application. Marriage, very, very important. And as we address the subject tonight, let me mention right at the outset tonight, we're going to fly over, as it were, giving an overview of the topic. And then in weeks to come, when I am preaching, I'm going to dig in a little bit deeper in the various areas that we will touch on tonight. Why do we need to teach and preach on the subject of marriage and the family? Marriages are under attack. They have been down through the ages, but it would be true to say that today, whether you are married, you would know that this would be true, but whether you are going to be married, you need to know that marriage will come under attack. Your marriage, specifically, will find certain pressures, certain things that you will find difficult. And so therefore, every effort is to be made to overcome all that has been done to undermine what God has designed. God has specifically designed what God has specifically ordained as a divine pattern for marriage and the family. And so therefore, the reason we come again and again, taught to us in the Bible, we need to read it, we need to expose it, we need to apply it, we need to continually be urging each other in this particular area and affirming and reconfirming God's pattern for marriage and the family. Now before we get to the very sort of practical side of the family, I think it is very necessary for us to go back and understand something of the context of this passage that has direct bearing, very, very important. And so therefore, to begin this evening, I want you to speak about the setting of this passage. It's no use just beginning at verse 22 and start reading, wives, submit to your husbands, and so on and so on. We need to see, right, what is the context? What is Paul been saying? What has the Holy Spirit been emphasizing so that we may move into this very practical area of Christian living? I think by now, or perhaps I need to say, I hope by now, each of you would have heard something of the message that we've been tackling for some weeks, that believers are to live a life worthy of the calling. God has done something phenomenal in your life. God has drawn you to Himself. He has poured His grace out. And so therefore He has created a new heart. And there has been an emphasis in practically living this life by working on unity and working on maturity and pursuing purity. That's where we've been focusing these last couple of weeks. And so to begin as a reminder to you tonight, as a believer, and if you're a believer here tonight, you need to hear the word of God. It says, be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And in the context of the passage, negatively, that means you're not to grieve the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God by doing that which is against God or in opposition to God or which transgresses the law of God. Then you remember, I hope, last week, positively, you are to pursue holiness by being filled with the Spirit of God. That's the context. Can't talk about family until you understand that there's a living of a life worthy of the calling. There's the challenge to be very careful how you live. There's the challenge not to grieve the Spirit. There's the challenge to daily be filled with the Spirit. And in as much as we saw last week that there is a consequence of being drunk with wine, remember that, a lifestyle that would lead to debauchery and brokenness. At the same time, those who are filled with the Spirit also have consequences in their lives. And the NIV unfortunately gets it wrong here. It doesn't make clear what in fact the original text is saying. There are these different participles. The command, be filled with the Spirit, is followed by words. And let me read them back into the passage. We are to be speaking. We are to be singing. We are to be thanking. And we are to be submitting. That's really that which follows being filled with the Spirit. Each of these participles, each of these actions, a channel which the Holy Spirit is cutting, a groove that the Holy Spirit is cutting into your life that will affect the way you live. And very specifically, as we get to the family tonight, verse 21, and the participle submitting. Submitting. Here is the context of the passage. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That verse sets the stage for an understanding of the way the family should operate. There is a submission one to the other. What's the opposite of submission one to the other? As I thought about it, I concluded that it would be trampling one another underfoot. Isn't that the opposite? Being unconcerned and uncaring and disregarding those around you. Disregarding the wife or the husband or the child or the father. And simply pushing one's own right and one's own agenda. That's not the way of the Spirit-filled family. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, having set the stage, that's the stage. Before we start now speaking to the different people involved in the family, I want to mention to those who are married, this is the most important issue. If you are having marriage difficulties, you can go and see a psychologist, you can go and see a counselor, you can go and see a pastor. But if you're not being filled with the Spirit of God, you will have trouble in this area of submission. It's essential. It's fundamental that spiritually your heart is tender and your heart and your life is under the influence, direct influence of God's Spirit, and therefore a willingness to submit one to another. Well, that's the setting. I want to move on now and consider in the second place the fact that the Christian life has got to be lived in the home. You see, the way of submission is a general principle and it applies to relationships across the board. However, we need to understand that that submission now is developed specifically among relationships in the home. The Christian life is to be lived in the home. And so what does Paul do? Paul begins with the specific application of the Spirit-full submission and he speaks to the wives. Your wife? Or your wife-to-be, a potential wife, young girl, young teenager, one day you will be a wife. Listen to God's pattern. It's not what the world is suggesting. It's not what the world is teaching. It's not the context in which we live. Wives, he says, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. This passage stands. Can I say that again? This passage stands. Feminism has swept the world. Feminism, unfortunately, has crept into the evangelical church. And this kind of passage is being extracted from the Bible and said it, and it is said that it is only relevant to a particular era of the church. It's not so. The passage stands. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now I'm going to repeat something again and again tonight. Here it comes. If your home is going to be the home that pleases God, you're going to have to be the wife that God wants you to be. Let that sink in. If your home is going to be the home that pleases God, you're going to have to be the wife that God wants you to be. Of course, as we move on, we see for the wife to be a wife, there needs to be a husband. And therefore, there's a word to husbands. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Listen, husbands, to the kind of sacrificial love that is required from you and me to be directed toward our wives. We are to love them sacrificially. At the expense of ourselves. And so again, we repeat the phrase, if your home is to be the home that pleases God, you're going to have to be the husband that God wants you to be. Of course, in most cases, but not all, it's not long, and a husband and a wife find that they're gifted with children. Therefore, a word to children, boys and girls, not too many boys and girls, but they're children here tonight, teenagers perhaps. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. Again, if your home is going to be the home, a kind of home that pleases God, children, you're going to have to be the kind of children that God wants you to be. And so the passage carries on. The same thing can be said about slaves. In our context, we could speak about employees. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart. If your home is going to be the home that pleases God, you're going to have to be the slaves, the employees, the servants that God wants you to be. Do you get the message here that there is a design? God has a specific design. God has a specific way. And the point is, it's no use raising your hands. It's no use getting all ecstatic and rolling all over the floor and say, worship, worship, wonderful worship. But go home and nothing happens in terms of Christian living. The scriptures make it so clear that the fullness of the Spirit, the very first area that it should impact is the home, the family, the context where we live, where we're exposed to each other day by day. And God, of course, in His wisdom knows that it's mostly in the home where the remains of sin are brought to the surface. Isn't that true? Those who know us the best, those that are closest to us, they know us as we are. The remains of corruption are stirred most intensely among those with whom we live. Thirdly, not everyone at home has the same role. Now again, this goes against feminism. It goes against secular teaching of our day. But I want to tell you, the unchanging Word of God tells us specifically that not everyone at home has the same role. It's different. Each person, notice in the passage, is addressed distinctly and specifically. Very definitely. All, yes, we all live under the same roof, but are given different instructions. All enjoy certain privileges. There's no doubt about that, but that's not the issue here. But the issue is that there is a responsibility that each needs to take up. If you're a wife, there is a responsibility that is yours. If you're the husband, there is a responsibility that is yours. If you're a child in the home, even you have a responsibility under God. I've married quite a few couples now, since I've been in the ministry, some 17 years full time. Most are influenced by the fact or the question, what can I get out of this marriage? That's what most people come to a marriage with, or an attitude that they approach the marriage. It's the wrong question. It's the wrong approach. When one looks at this passage and the particular design that God has set forth, the question instead should be asked, what is expected of me? What is it that God wants me to do? What is the role that God wants me to fulfill? And like our Lord Jesus, and very, I think, appropriately tonight, like our Lord Jesus, the symbols of the table, it's all about giving. Jesus came and gave His life. And so in the home, it's about giving. It's not about primarily what you can receive. Of course, what you have to give is different. I've mentioned this for each member of the household. It's different. Distinct, separate, plainly defined roles for each person in the household. And I would urge you, those who are married, I would urge those of you who are planning to be married, find out what pleases the Lord. What is it that He wants for you as a wife? What is it that He wants for you as a husband? And as much as not everybody has the same role, I do want to emphasize the biblical teaching that distinction of role does not in any way undermine equality. We're not suggesting that male or female, one is superior and the other one is inferior. That's not biblical. That's not godly. There's an equality. There's no such thing. This is not an indication of inferiority. In fact, we need to look to God and we see the same structure. We see the same principle at work in the mystery and the operation of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is in submission to the Father, but He's not inferior. 1 Corinthians 11:3. I want you to realize, Paul says, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Get the picture? The Father, God, Father God, is the head of Christ. And yet it does not affect the Lord's equality with God at all. Instead, we need to understand that there is a functional responsibility in the Trinity and in the home, and even extended that into the church. Why do we think there are distinctions in roles among elders of the church? It is because in the same way that God is in Himself, it is translated into the home and it is translated into the church. Well, fourthly then, the role of each person, the distinctive role of each person is clearly defined. Now, just one idea tonight. I'm going to pick up on these in detail, as I said, in weeks to come, but just an overall view of things. What is the key word? And the key word for wives is submit. It is. It is to submit. As a wife, God calls you to voluntarily, out of respect for Christ, to place yourself under the headship, under the leadership of your husband. Now, it's not suggesting, and this is not the biblical teaching, that you should be oppressed, that you should be crushed, that you should be manipulated. No, it is giving your husband the respect he needs. Now, I want you to think about this. Men need to be respected. Think about families that you know. When a wife is unwilling to respect her husband, he falls apart. Can't operate. Doesn't function properly. It is a basic need that we as men have, that our wives respect us. It is the way God has made us. And so therefore the instruction, wives, submit to your husband's authority. Submit to your husband's leadership. It's an ordered equality. And again, patterned on the church's submission to the lordship of Christ. Secondly, the key word for husbands is love. Why? Again, think about women. Women are different to men, not only physically. In terms of our makeup, a woman needs to know that she's loved. Is that true? And it's the husband's responsibility to give his wife what she needs, specifically, sensitively, to love her. And the kind of love is defined here. It is to be patterned after the love that Christ has for the church. It is sacrificial love. It is a love that seeks the welfare, the well-being, the good of the object being loved. Christ loved the church and redeemed the church. And in this passage you see here that he in fact he's nurturing the church and preparing the church ultimately for that day where there will be the marriage feast of the Lamb. And so the husband is to love his wife sensitively and carefully, whatever the cost, however great the difficulty. You see where we're going? The wife in submission to her husband who loves as Christ loved the church. Well, the key word for children, and I'll hurry on, is simply obey. Obey, by the way, is very different to submit. Submit, in fact, is a word that says you're to order yourselves under. Obey is different in that you have to categorically do what they tell you to do. That's it. Children, obey your parents. Do it because your parents tell you to do it. And the reason given for this is right. It is unquestioning obedience out of an attitude of respect and honor for parents. They're the ones that have been given this responsibility to nurture you and care for you, manage you as stewards under God. Now, here's an interesting word for fathers. And I think the reference here, of course, applies to mothers. But the key word, of course, is to fathers. They are heads of home. And the fathers are not to exasperate. I'm sure if we ask the young people here tonight, what is it that gets under your skin the most with your parents? It's the nagging. It's the negativeness, isn't it? If there is this continual preaching and nagging and negativeness that goes on and on and on, and they never let up and they never encourage and they're always putting you down and they've been negative and horrible and eventually you feel like you want to run away, you want to scream and you want to shout, and children don't do well when parents exasperate them. It's negative. There is instead to be the positive way of parenting. Instead, the Apostle Paul says, bring them up in the training and instruction, the nurture of the Lord. There's a key word for the servants, and I'm not going to go into that tonight. Simply says, obey your earthly masters. And then, of course, there's a word also to masters. And I'm going to leave that for tonight anyway. We'll get to that down the line. But nevertheless, in each of these relationships, I want you to note that each one, husband or wife, husband, child, each is part of the whole. And there is a unity, there is a unitedness to a natural counterpart. Wives to be in subjection, children to obey, slaves called to obedience. But none of these stand in isolation. Important to see this. They function with an inseparable counterpart. Each one has a corresponding counterpart. Wives are in subjection to husbands that love. Children that obey or should obey, but parents who don't exasperate. Slaves are called to obedience, but masters to treat with respect. Do you get the beauty of the design? God is not exploiting one gender against another. God is not allowing one particular role to dominate or to exploit or to abuse another. There is a perfect match. There is a beautiful unity. Each part of the whole is tied to a natural counterpart. Now, fifthly, important reasons that I would like to attach to each of these instructions. And I'm just going to give one of them tonight. Why are wives to submit to their husbands? We know, of course, that this is part of God's design. But there's more. The issue, the significant reason, is that there is a pattern of headship and submission written into God's way in Himself. I raised that just now. There is this pattern, this design of headship and submission, which is true of God in Himself. And therefore, it is true of His church. And it is to be reflected in the family. Why are husbands to love their wives? Now, husbands, I want to tell you something that here is a big responsibility. The way a husband loves his wife should be an illustration to the family, to the children, of the spiritual reality that Christ gave Himself for the church. It's not the pastor's fault if the children don't understand the gospel. It's the father's fault. Because the children should be sitting back and saying, wow, my dad loves my mom sacrificially. He will give his golf up on a Saturday for the sake of my mother. He will go and watch that terrible romantic movie with my mother because that's what she likes to do. That's the way it should be. Children should see that. It's not just always what the father wants to do. That's worldly, that's unspiritual, and that's fleshly. The children need to see this unnatural devotion that a father or a husband has for his wife. The father has the responsibility of demonstrating the gospel in the context of the home. Why is it that children are to obey their parents? Again, there's a simple reason. From the very beginning, children need to understand the difference between right and wrong. Again, this is something that has become blurred in the 21st century. We live in a world today where we are told there's no such thing as right and wrong. Everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. God's word is contrary to that. God's word says there is something definite. There is something which is right and there is something that is wrong. And so therefore children from the earliest of age needs to know that this is absolutely right or this is absolutely wrong. And so therefore they need to know if I obey, I'm safe. If I disobey, I'm in trouble. Obedience to parents teaches all of God's character reflected in the law. And then, of course, there's the added reason of blessing that he adds as well. Why are fathers to be encouragers? Well, the simple reason is, as fathers, we are the single most, the greatest, I should say, single influence on the life of the children. And therefore, we should be careful how we deal with them. We can make them or we can break them. And by encouragement, we can make them. By discouraging them, we can embitter them. And so the challenge from the Word of God. Well, I want to urge you tonight to take these words from the Scripture seriously, especially our younger people here tonight. Because I know that you're under an entirely different influence from a worldview which is absent of clear biblical teaching. It's a fact. Many people would laugh at this kind of teaching today. They would say this belongs in the Middle Ages. It belongs in the Dark Ages. We've been enlightened. We've been liberated. Have we? I don't think we have. God remains the same. God's design remains the same. And so for the sake of your own family, for the sake of your own spiritual well-being, for the sake of the state of the souls of your children into eternity, but above all, for the sake of God's glory and His honor, I want to be promoting in these next weeks God's design and pattern in the family and challenge you to accept it. And I do want to invite you, if you have questions, if you feel that I've misrepresented something or I've not adequately explained something, please, you can speak to me, you can email me, you can write a letter and put it under my door and let's try and grapple with these issues of biblical roles within the context of the family and, of course, in marriage. And so, dear Lord, we do pray to this end. This evening has been instructive in the nature of the message. And yet, Lord, there is that element of gospel which continues to present itself, even in the context of how we should function as a family. The gospel is at the center. The love of Christ. The fact that the Father sent the Son. That the Son willingly submitted and obeyed, laying down His life, submitting to the Father's will, giving His life as a ransom for many. And so too the work of the Spirit in applying that. And Lord, we pray to this end tonight that You would take these words, the words of Scripture, imprint it upon our hearts and enable us, Lord, we pray, to work this out in daily living as those who seek to be filled with the Spirit, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.